Mr. Gormley, Reel 31. How long were you in Cyprus?
Altogether about 3 months.
It was just a short tour, in fact.
Well, it might have been, I would say approximately 3 months.
It had no alarms or anything of that nature, had you?
No, we didn't have any, you know, but as I said, we were ready for them, and we're always out on doing the numbers. One month finished, another one would start, and, you know, we're always out doing the numbers. I know there was one time I was having a bit of trouble. I didn't know what, and I went to see this, I know. And he said, are you getting out? He thought I was trying to get away from this duel that was going out. It was a 3-day effort. He went out for 3 days. Stepped under the stars. You know. He says, are you trying to get out of this? I said, I'm not trying to get out of this. I said, there's something wrong with me. I said, well, I don't know what it is. I said, I think it's in the teeth. So he examined me. And he said, well, I can't see anything wrong with you. I said, but you're not a dentist, sir. I said, no, this is a dentist. And the nearest dentist was a lion like that. He said, mind me, I had to come here all day to get there and get back. He didn't come over me. So I think that's what he put the idea in his head. And being honest, right, he asked me, did Tom Cooper, who was now in charge of the boat, he asked me to go and lay the gun for this other fella called O'Neill. And I didn't want him to let him go. I said, I'm not really laying a gun for him. I said, no way. I said, I don't really like the man. Straight out. I said, no. I said, anyway, I'm going on the ship tomorrow, which I had made. I'd already made my mind up, you know. I said, I'm going on the ship tomorrow. I said, oh, you only pretty? I said, I'm not doing anything with any pretty thing. I said, I'm not going out with him for a start. I said, anybody else? I said, but him, no. I said, I don't really like him. I said, I'll probably finish up with a bloody clink if I go out with him, because I'll probably finish hitting him.
So what was your problem when you got to see the dentist?
So I got to this, but in the end, he had to let me go, because I wanted to see the dentist. And I got there, and he examined me, this dentist, and then he sent me for the recall in an exam, and he put me in his bed, and he looked at me and he said, right, he said, I've got to give you an injection. He came in with a bloody needle, it seemed to be about that big, and he put this bloody needle in here.
In your arm?
And there, and he pumped this bloody stuff in. I don't want you to leave that bed. I haven't a pretty clue. He said, I don't want you to leave that bed. You stop in there and you sit there and you kick your arm in. So I lay there. This was like about 11 o'clock in the morning by the time we got there. I'm getting there. That's not pretty common. I don't know either. So I'm looking down and looking up the room. You could see the cafes along the seafront, because it was all barbed wire door, but it was still open, you know. I said, look at this, I got up, put my clothes on, and I wandered down there, and I had this little plate of sausage egg and chips, and I came back again, and the whole place was in the room, because I'd been gone about 2 hours, right, you know. And I got back in, and I came back into bed, and this note happened to come in, you know. Right, I said, the thing, should have been down there, getting some sausage egg and chips. I said, let me look around. He said, you told me not to leave that bloody bed. I said, what's the matter? I said, well, what's wrong with me? I said, I'm like,
so what was your problem?
I was like, it's rain, you see. There's a pretty doctor come in. Oh, God, the last man we gave that thing to, he said, the injection to, he said he went bloody delirious. He said he was out like a light for 3 days. He said, are you sure you're all right? I said, of course I'm sure I'm not right.
What was your problem?
I had what they call Vincent's disease. Now that's a disease of the gums. And you know, if you don't catch it right, you lose all your bloody teeth and probably you go, you know, you lots of those that you want. And I said, well, when he told me, I said, well, how the hell did I get that? Well, he said, it's an unusual thing, he said. He said, you used to get a lot of it in the trenches in the First World War. He said, you're the second one. There must have been this other bloke that was in before me. And he'd gone round the bloody Christmas. He said, I used to be like, I said, I'm possibly the more like it. Now, when you're back home, he said, you might have a delayed effect, or he kept me there for a 3 or 4 weeks. Eh? And,
then you rejoined the battery, then, did you?
I went back to the battery, you see, and then I got back. The MO was very apologetic to me. Oh, yes, he was. Very apologetic. He said, you better have the 10C bed down for a fortnight, he said. So, I was like, really bed for a fortnight.
So the routine was training and moving around the island?
And moving around the island, mainly, and that went on for 3 months. And, you know, we're out on maybe out on the pier and that, but, you know, it was very cheap, very, you know, reasonable, everything was reasonable. They met some lovely people there, you know, like, who mainly, not the sickest type, but mainly people who'd actually gone there and were living, using the estaminets and all that, you know. And very nice people. There was an old Viennese couple there, you know, and we used to love to go and have a bit, sit and have a bit talk with them, you know. He lived in London for many years, and he'd gone back there to settle down, you know.
So where did you move to after 3 months?
So, 3 months later, we didn't go back to Tel Aviv. We were taken straight into the desert. We landed at Alexandria, actually. We landed in Alexandria, and we were put straight up into the blue. And we were preparing for the second push up to relieve Tobruk.
Tobruk had been relieved around about the end of November, December 41. And you must have been in Cyprus. The 50, they've left Cyprus November 41. So were you in Cyprus over Christmas of the 41?
No. I must be getting mixed up here somewhere.
Because Tobruk was relieved about the same time as, round about the same time, the Durham's left, the 50th Div left Cyprus for Iraq.
I must be a little missing somewhere along that time. Because we were in the last push up to Tobruk. That we needed.
So and had you...
That first battle was in 41.
That's up to that. Are you sure that it wasn't that you came back to Alexandria and moved up at the same time as the Gazala positions were in? February, March, April, that kind of time of
1942? Yeah, yes. I've got it right. I was getting mixed up between the time when we went up to relieve the book and we were failing all objectives at the time. But this was much later because I'd already been in Cyprus for a few months. So this was much later, and we moved up there. It would probably be about March, maybe even later, I think. Probably, yeah. Yeah, but March, April time. We moved up there and we put this attack in under General Cunningham. And we pushed them back, well back. And I remember because we knocked tanks up in this particular engagement, we knocked tanks up there. This was up north of Tobruk, well north of Tobruk, a place called what came to be known as the Cauldron, actually. And in the meantime, 50 days, which we'd already relieved in Cyprus, they had a hell of a battle up at the Gazala, and they'd made a run for it. From Gazala and went way down round about and down past Bir Hakeim and came in that way. But we pushed it forward under General Cunningham and we had a fellow called Truscott, a colonel, the new colonel. And We end up into this acting called the Coleman, as I say, later on. And 50 Dividend, when he made their break for it, and we were stuck there on this exposed promenade. And this would be about
May, June, 42, yeah. This was quite a severe battle. What are your memories of what was going on with you and the rest of you?
We were in the most exposed position we could be. All the infantry was behind us. We were in this box, and another box down in Beer Hacking. There was a guard's box behind us at night, with boxes. We were all in boxes. And I forget the name, we were that right box. But we were in this box, and we were right on the front end of the hill. And we were in action all the time. Even the infantry and everything was behind us. And all the troops were way back out on the left hand side there and down on the bottom, and we had the most exposed position of the lot. And yet 500 yards behind us was a little miller. We could have all been stuck in there. You know, more or less kept ourselves reasonably safe. And this was the hell of a battle. It was the biggest battle up to then in the desert, like, you know. And we are watching these bloody idiots are pounding us, and we're pounding them. And this trusty comes up, he's talking to Corbett beside our gun, and he says, "We've got them trapped." He's God's honest truth. "We've got them trapped." And I look at him, and with no respect to the person in the desert, you know. I said, we've got them trapped, sir. I said, "Well, tell them that's your worst trap, man." "Ridiculous," he says. "Nonsense." "Ridiculous," he says. "Nonsense. We've got them trapped," he said. "They can't get out. We've got them trapped against those minefields." I said, "If they're trapped against the minefield," I said, "I've just brought about 20, 88s, and we'll put them behind that nuller up there. I want them to come in and drop them." "Nonsense," he said. "Nonsense." Oh, then it started. And the screen came down, the shells came down, and we just couldn't dig in or anything like that. The point we were on was solid, bloody rock. So we just popped the sand here and there. And that's when we put all our wounded. We dug any pockets of sand. We had them dug out like a six inch so we could dive into them. We finished up with them all wounded. Captain Corbett, he got it. That was the first one. And we got him out, and he was the last one we did manage to get out. He was hit, right in the back of the head here. He died on his way back to Alexandria, told me that, right? And for 3 days, we were shelled, bombed and shelled and shelled and bombed.
Were they aircraft coming down? Were tanks coming in against you?
Tanks coming in all the time. We fired an airplane, fired over the open sights. And eventually, the guns were silenced, and the infantry hadn't moved, the infantry was still behind us. The guns were kept silent, they finished in the end, they finished up, there were only two guns left on the firing. And there was only three men on one gun, 2 men on the other. And I was one.
And which gun were you on?
I was on number one gun.
With what, 2 men or 3 men? The three men gun.
And we got to the point where, and it was after 3 days, more or less, don't stop fighting. And as I say, all the wounded, nobody else, it was nobody else. And there was a lot of wounded right there. I said, previous to that, there were 2 tanks that we knocked out, maybe about 300, maybe 400 yards in the middle. I sent some wounded people back there. I said, "Can we get away behind the bloody tanks?" I said,
"Are these British tanks?"
"Yeah. No.
Germans that came out, yeah."
I said, get behind them tanks. I said, "We'll pick you up if we've got to come out." And And we had this officer with us, he was the only officer left. Spoon happened, he was wounded, about to leave him. And he shouted, "My abandoned guns." I said, "I will want to fire these last 30 shells." And I did. And God knows the truth. And there was three of us, Abby Weston got wounded. And I said, get back down to the bloody tank. I said, "We've only got three bloody shells left. I'm going to fire this shot." But, you know, it's funny, isn't it? I said, "I'm going to fire them from the clinic. Then I'll put it down." I said, "I'm going to get that bloody, I'll get them lost." But the other gun was silent. And the main people in left. And I said, "Right, this is it." And they come in. And the only bloody, let them come right down here 100 yards. And I fired the three bloody shells I had left. And I hit two.
Tanks. Yeah. German tanks.
Yeah, I hit two bloody, I stopped two bloody tanks in this track. I couldn't see where the other one went because it just disappeared in the bloody mist. I might have hit the other one, I don't know, because it was a really good shot, right? I don't know, just admit. And I stopped two of them in the bloody tracks. And I said to Pinkman, I said, "Right, it's time for us to be bloody good, kid. How is better way?" And it's bloody heads down. You kind of fight with all bloody guns, you've got no men to have to bloody fight with.
And you left the guns. You would have to leave the guns.
I took the signs off.
Is that an emotional thing, leaving your guns?
Oh, God, yeah. Like leaving an old friend, isn't it? I took the signs off. I took the firing pin. I thought, you're not going to get the chance of firing me fucking up my ass. So, I took the sights off. I carry the sight. Straight down the trigger mechanism. We just pulled it out like that. Fully matching. And we made a bloody run for it. And as we were running, the machine was going to hit us. And I went bloody flying. And he went flying. The bloody sights went out. I said, "Pete, all right. I've been bloody hit." I said, "So far, and I'm feeling the way bloody leg." I said, "I've been bloody hit somewhere." Shot the heel off my boot. I had no bloody heel on that boot. I took the bloody boot. I said, "Clean up." And I said, "I'm all right." I said, "How are you?" He said, "Oh, I've got one in my shoulder." I said, "Sir, can you run?" He said, "We bloody have to." I said, "Come on then, bloody get up." I said, "When I say three, up, one, two, three, and up." It was like, when we got down to this, where these tanks were, knocked off to us. Wow. Pretty padded. And we got down there, and I said, "Bloody hell," and I looked, and there was eight of them left. Most of them, one other fellow beside myself, driving the carriage, sitting in the carriage. I said, "Look," I said, "I'm going to get that 38th line on the hook there." So, because they'd already gone, because it sent them. As we got less and less, they were charging them with bloody rifles and beers. Bloody madmen. That's God's honest truth. They just bent over the bloody top, past us, through us, and we had out there to bloody fire them. And they were charging it, the bullets were right with them bloody bayonets, these HLI. And so I said, "Right, there's an HLI one in the custom there." So you want to get out of this, like that? I said, "I'll get the bugger started, I'll be back." And I went down and I started the bugger up, I put it start. And I drove back. And I picked the poor little Johnny when he had a big slash right across his stomach here, you know. And you could do a film like that, but I wouldn't be, you know. And Johnny back there, he didn't know what he was on the mail. But I put them all in the middle of the wagon. And they come out, and they made our way out, and this bloody tank, he got his eye on us, and he just misses the water, I said, "Bloody hell." they thought of this bad mechanic, and I was driving it, you know. I said, right, when I say bloody right, you go bloody right and go straight away and don't bloody mess. Because I was timing it, I said, well, if I can find out where he's firing at, and sure enough, I said, right. With a bloody thing to tell behind him, you know. But I was timing it in my mind. It's funny, you know, your bloody mind is clear as a bell, you know. And I could just imagine him twisting his bloody hands around to get the bloody gun on the door later on. I said, left, clear left, you know. And bang, another fucking just twisted. He had five bloody shots at him, we missed every bloody time. And then the couple of years ago, I would drop down into another out of sight, you know. Aye. 3 years. I mean, the only book I want to call that to, but it's bloody true. Your bloody mind is clear as a bloody bell. And I'm actually moving all those buttons to traverse that bloody room to get where I was going myself, left or right or whatever, you know. And I said, just do what I bloody tell you, just do it when I sit by this here. And I got a bump. And I come out in the course. We got down to, we got as far as the bridge at Knightsbridge, what's called Knightsbridge. You couldn't describe it anymore, really.
What was the scene that you were passing through? What was the scene like that you were passing through, you know, through Knightsbridge, and what was lying about? What was?
No, just a boxer. They were all still in waiting.
Oh, so the guards were still there. Their attack hadn't come in. Yeah.
And I said, we've just been smashed completely. And he said, what was it? Smashed, he said. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I don't think so. I said, oh, yes, sir. I said, we'll be here shortly. I said, can he give you a bit of drum and water? I said, we're heading for Tobruk. Because, fool, you know where you are. Even in the bloody desert, you just saw a little sign of fear, you know, and you didn't exactly where you were. I mean, once you've been up and down a couple of times, so I brought them all back to Tobruk. I thought we were doing all the room that we'd really very down there, you know.
Any problems coming back?
No. I had no more problems from there, from leaving my speaker box. I mean, you were getting very bone, you know, but looking set to here, and you like that, but there had been bombs all over that time. You couldn't shout screaming all over there, we went back into the book,
What had happened to the rest of the unit and the rest of the division? Were you in Gazala with the 5th Indian Division? Was it still there?
No. Gazala had already gone.
Oh, yes, sorry. But you'd come out of Cyprus with the whole division?
We came out of Cyprus with the whole division, and the whole bloody division was smashed up that. There was nothing. I mean, there was men left. Don't get me mistaken. But as far as our little enclave was, that the HLI, the Front Air Force Rifles, and that.
Which was your brigade, your...
There was only a bloody handful came back out of that brigade. A handful, that was all. Only 8 of us come back.
So you'd be your 8 in this truck coming to Tobruk, but you wouldn't know where the rest of you were at all.
Because they were further along the fence, you see. Quite a number of them, they'd got out before it, but we were completely being surrounded on the forward end. And they'd took what the Gazala men had done. They just hooked traps in the way, like, of course they lost men as well, like, you know, but not to the extent that we did.
So you got to Tobruk, and what happened to you then?
Well, I was here to go back to Tobruk. Two of those were dead, Jordy Batson and Jordy Batson. Two Jordys at the back. And you've got to see, Batson standing in front of me, no, I could tell that. And little Jordy was just, you know, smallish, like, you know, got back in there, and Pete being Abby Weston, and Pete being this Graham, he was there, he was the lad that drove us coming out. And I took them to the hospital, put the dead dog on, and then I went to the town, the big transit camp there, you know, just before the day of the transit camp. And we sat there for a couple of days, and then his people didn't come out, he was like what you call a walking wounded, you know, he could even walk and he was all okay. So, he come up and was scared. You must be pretty mad when you think about it, you know. Anybody here like me, volunteer to go up with the defences? And make it pretty cool, because Peter had a day, Peter had come out, and he's done a dream. Andy Weston had kept the hospital. And, anybody volunteer? I said, aye, if you've got a pretty gun, I said, I'll go. It's great. So, right, he says, go and take your bloody pick, you know, jump on the guns and that all over the place with the porties, you know. So, we'll pick this bloody gun up between us, me, Peter, and Miss Graham. And we went up, turned the bloody camera line. Turned the camera line with anti-tank guns, with anti-tank guns. So, we settled in, we dug in, and I said, we'll dig the proper well in, you know, because we're on the defence side, you know. And we dug in, like, dug a pretty deep vehicle so that we could map out quickly and put the sand maps underneath, so we'd have to, if we had to get out quick, we'd get out quickly, you know. We shoved the bloody sand maps down and then just brought the dump up at the top, like, you know. And we were in the bloody defence there with the camera now, and just, sure enough, like 3 or 4 days after, about a week after, the started going over the hill. So, oh God, what's going to happen here? Well, the South African brigade was on the top side, the western side, and we had the Cameron Island with us down here. And the Frontier Force fighters and that, and all the rest of the Indian troops.
So you joined up with Indian troops at this point?
I was back where I was, back where I was, ready to log in the first place with the British commanders. And we were there, like, as support women, you know, just call up the volunteers, you know. You might as well be British fighters.
Would there must have been units pouring through Tobruk on the retreat at this point in time?
No, they were coming in. Concentrating into the book, whatever was left, we were coming into war.
Yes, it was most of Tobruk was made up of South Africans, which were caught by.
The top end was all South African. The bottom end, that was all the Indian base. All the bottom end, the Camels, that left of the HRI, so there, you know. So we were all down there and. And they didn't get the minefield completed. The Indian troops. We weren't so bad. We nearly had those complete, you know. So we picked a few off, like even with the 2 pounds, you know, we picked a few off as the process. And then they made a breakthrough on the bottom end, back up through the Indian troops. And of course, they hadn't got the minefield finished, and they had no chance. And then the bloody comes straight out. I thought, done with that, I've had enough up there. I'm not standing anymore here. And we came straight out between all the troops. And I don't know whether you thought we were captured too. What, you know, we come right through the bloody infantry and everybody thing. And we all came, they were going that way, and we were going that way. And then the bloody shot was fired at us.
Because you came through the German units,
yeah.
Or German and Italian units.
Straight through the German units.
And was this night or day or what? Was it a night run or?
Yeah. We just, we just, I I just charged up them with a bit of, with a wagon and it was only one way out of there, and they there that way, I've got to go that way, so I went that way.